Scott asked me if I was nervous. I said yes, because I don't know what you're going to ask me.
Well, I think you might have an idea. So I tell you, just what a morning, right? I mean, your daughter and my grandson on praise team today.
Oh, yeah, and Samuel on the bass.
Samuel, you're on the bass. That's right.
Such a blessing.
So tell us a little bit about how you came to Christ, because I don't know if a whole lot of people have really heard the testimony on how Chance Yankee came to the Lord. So would you just share that real briefly?
Absolutely. So at the age of about 17 years old, going into my senior year of high school, there had been some events in my life that the Lord used to begin to get a hold of me and get my attention. One of those was some grades cratering, some things that I thought I had a hold on. Suddenly, I didn't have a hold on. I didn't have as good a foundation in my math as I thought I had. And so I get into Algebra 2 in the beginning of my junior year, and things begin to crater very quickly because of that lack of foundation. So it shook me because I almost got taken out of football. And football was a big deal to me. You know, with my dad being my coach and not being able to hopefully fulfill all that I had hoped, it got my attention that I had better start getting some things together. That led into some very poor decisions that I had made while in high school during that same year. And that built up a reputation of one that I didn't want to be known as. But I couldn't do anything to stop that. And no matter how hard I tried in my efforts, there was nothing that I could do to seemingly cause a stop to one bad decision after the next. as if taking me potentially out of football wasn't enough, one of my best friends till this day, Jeremy, we were playing a pickup game of football on Super Bowl Sunday, you know, back when the Cowboys used to win. And what had happened was he broke my collarbone that day. And so I watched the second half of the game in the emergency room, and it took me out of baseball. So with no football, potentially, I did get to finish the season, and no baseball on the horizon, I had a lot of free time suddenly, and Jeremy Taliaferro began to come alongside me. He and some other friends, Michael Back, Chris Dodd, some of those guys from long ago, began to really draw and kind of press into me because they knew that I was lost as a goose. I mean, they knew that I did not have the Lord. There was a semblance of morality in my life, but I was quickly, like I said, one bad decision after the next, I was just throwing that all away. So Jeremy, at the end of the school year, my junior year, came over to the house one day and he said, Chance, I want you to go to church camp with me. And I said, no, Jeremy, stop right there. Church camp is for good kids. I'm not a good kid. And he said, no, you'd be surprised. Church camp is exactly the place you need to be because that's the kind of kids they want. And I said, well, I gave him one excuse after the next. Well, I need to get a job. And he said, well, that's great. You can work with me. I have a lawn mowing business. I was like, God dang it. And I said, well, this, you know what? It's going to cost something, right? And he said, well, don't worry about it. Somebody at my church already paid for you. And I said, nobody at your church even knows who I am. And he said, you're Coach Yankee's son. Everybody knows who you are in town. And you're a new kid. So, yes, people know you. And they took care of it. Well, jumping ahead a little bit, I found out 15 years later, Jeremy was the one who paid for my church camp out of his birthday money. Wow. He took that $200 that his grandmother gave him and he put it toward me awesome. To go to camp because he knew that the Lord had told him to come after me to share faith with Chance and to do what it took to get him there. Yeah. And he did. He was faithful to awesome. Do that. While we were at church camp, just begin to ask those basic questions of, you know, why am I here? What's my purpose? And surely, what's my destiny? Where am I going? And you know as well as I do, when you get to church camp and the preacher starts preaching and people start talking about spiritual things and eternal things and stuff that you don't, as a lost kid, you don't spend time thinking about, those began to become a reality to me. And that first night at church camp, I decided to give my life to Jesus in total surrender. And man, you talk about night and day kind of transformation. Awesome. It was coming out of darkness and into the light. And yeah, I mean, the Lord just got a hold of my life very, very quickly and suddenly.
So you were 18 years old.
17.
17 years old. So you finished your senior year.
Finished my senior year.
And then you came. Now, when did you meet Chelsea?
So, highlight of my life, met Chelsea when we were at Weatherford College. So it'd be my second year and her first year. And yeah, she caught my eye very quickly.
Awesome.
And I knew that I needed to get to know her.
Yeah.
Because one night I was in the library studying, writing a paper. And I looked up and no joke, the Lord, almost in an auditory way, said, "There is your wife."
Wow.
And looked up, and there she was. She was the only one that I could see. Yeah. You know, it was like in the movie when everything else fades around that one particular person. And Dreamweaver was coming on in the background. No, I'm teasing. So there she was. I knew I needed to get to know her. And so watched her, and she walked up to one of her friends that I knew, and I thought, okay, I can start networking. All right, here we go. So yeah, I met Chelsea there, and
awesome.
We transferred here.
Okay.
That next year at the same time, and we knew that we had come here with great purpose.
Right.
Because just in that first year of college, God had began to put the reality that I had a call of ministry on my life.
Yeah.
And I wanted to work that out with somebody who was like-minded, who was also called. And the more that Chelsea and I talked and got to know one another, I just knew that she had a calling of ministry on her life as well. And so I wanted to pursue that with someone
great.
Who was going to be like-minded
yeah.
and the same kind of pursuit.
Awesome. So how many years ago was it that y'all showed up here at Cottonwood?
We showed up here just prior to Thanksgiving of 96.
96.
A quarter of a century ago.
Wow. Okay. So I didn't realize you were here this long before you took on the reins of...
5 years.
5 years. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what happens here. I mean, people come and get involved and, you know, that's what we say. If you come here and get involved, be careful. You might go to Cambodia one day or you might end up on staff. And so... and so I remember, I guess it was it the first Sunday that you met with Ermanel Peacock? You remember that?
It was one of the first few Sundays.
Yeah, so Ermanel, if you come in, you come in the foyer, you see Stroud Hall. Well, Ermanel was one of the Stroud sisters who sang, I think she sang alto, and Fanny was our worship leader, and so it was the two sisters left of four, and you had this conversation, and she came up to me after church, and said, "You see that couple right there? He believes he's going to do what you do one day." And so, and it was just my first really introduction to you guys through Ermanel Peacock. So, and so tell us a little bit about that journey of 5 years before you became our youth pastor.
So the fall of 96, we come as Tarleton students, and we are looking for a church. And about, like I said, a little about this time of year, okay, prior to Thanksgiving, we stumbled across the threshold of Cottonwood. And I'm telling you, this is the honest truth. When we drove on the property, I had felt immediately the presence of God, first thing. Second thing, we met you. And you remembered our name even when we skipped two Sundays and came back right for the Thanksgiving dinner, okay? Because yeah. We knew we were going to make it back for that. But I think we actually went home a couple of weekends and then came back, and you remembered who we were.
Okay.
And I just thought, I mean, we're nobody. We're just a couple of college students passing through, and you made a point to remember our name, our hometown, and what our majors were.
Wow.
And that just struck me. As somebody who deeply cared for his people, and then the third thing, when we crossed the threshold of what is now the youth room and college room, I knew immediately that this was going to be our home. Awesome. I told Chelsea, I said, "This is home. We're home."
Awesome.
And so we just knew,
yeah,
it was supposed to be
awesome. So I know that you worked with Young Life for a while, and then we had a transition going from one of the youth pastors, I think it was Austin Tapp, is that right? And so we did just this thought of coming out of Young Life and Austin feeling the leadership to step off that role. And then so we went to youth camp in Panama City Beach and made the transfer there. And then the next Sunday, you started as officially as youth pastor. I don't know if it's 20 years. It may be 21 years.
20 years and a few months.
Okay, awesome.
4 or 5 months.
So 20 years, I know it's just really hard to wrap up because there's just been lots of students that's come through. On your wall in your office is a mirage of high school seniors' pictures that are just, I guess, maybe 100 of them, right, that are just a blessing to see. I think one of the things that I'm just so grateful for is just the consistency of a day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year that we've seen. And, you know, I remembering you come in, remembering your wedding on Y2K. They got married on Y2K while everybody was prepping. They were prepping for marriage. And
everybody else was jumping in their holes, and we were jumping in the church.
And so, and I don't know if you, I know if you were alive then, you remember that, you know, just how folks were just kind of in a tizzy about things. Mm-hmm. And yet, Saturday, January 1st, right? How many years ago now? Oh, 2000. Yeah,
January 1. 2000.
And so, and then for you to step into the role, and then to be my kid's youth pastor, and then for you to spend time with my grandson this week, it just is like, what does the guy say? Deja vu all over again. and just the thought of just this long, faithful journey that we've been together over the last 20-something years. Prior even to that, can you tell us something just about just kind of in closing of some things about that? And man, where you just I don't know if when you share in a few minutes that you've got some things to share, but just kind of just what would you say?
I would say, first of all, I am probably one of the most blessed just one of the most blessed individuals to be able to have a wife that is a true Proverbs 31 woman, and we'll talk about more later. Kids that love the church, kids that love the Lord, to have a family that is incredibly supportive. And to have a church family that it's an honor and it's a privilege to get to be a part.
Yeah.
And to think back, you said Austin Tapp, you know, when we went to camp that first year together, and I don't know if you know this, but the transition was made at camp. So we left and Austin Tapp was the youth pastor, and when we got back, I was the youth pastor. So that transition happened at camp. And just as soon as I got hired, I almost got fired because there were some college kids that were staying in some beach houses across the way from where we were staying, and they challenged us to a water balloon match, contest, fight, if you will. And so, you know, I got all the guys together, and I said, okay, we're going to win this fight. I mean, we're not going down in flames here. We're going to get them. And part of the strategy was to go and sneak over and get on the rooftop and jump from house to house to house and then bombard them from above, and they never saw it coming. And so just like I said, it's almost as soon as I got hired, I'm
across the street, and I'm going, what is he doing on those people's roofs? You know? And
here's the leader of our guys, right?
Say, oh, my word.
Why did I make this hire? What's this guy doing? But, you know, there are just moments like that that I think back, and, you know, tongue in cheek, it's kind of funny, but, you know, there are moments where maybe I didn't make the wisest decision.
Sure.
And you have to be so quick to agree.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Trying to be like the Lord, gracious, sure. And yes. Slow to anger.
And you know, all that circling around to say, Mike, you're probably the best pastor I've ever had. You're the best boss I've ever had. And you are the best father figure that any of us could ever hope to have.
Oh, you're kind.
So you have made the 20-year journey seem like nothing.
Great. Does this make me your? Are you my son figure? Is there?
I guess so.
I'm just really, really grateful for the years that you've been here and the years that we've been on staff together. I'm just really grateful to see how strong your marriage is, how your family is growing into Christ. And just remembering their baptisms, and especially over at the old chapel, those baptisms in those days. And they're really, really wonderful memories of youth camps. I know, you know, one of the things is that I'm always invited by our staff, but just Chance just kind of does that. He invites me to everything. And so I get to go to camp every year and work with our leadership team and do leadership principles with them. And just as always, you know, always asking about things, always asking me about some decisions or just what might be next. And so I just really appreciate that, welcoming me into you, even though I could do that, right? So, and that's what it is. It's just kind of the invitation to the things of God, an invitation to the things Cottonwood, and I'm really grateful for that. So, Chance, thanks for the interview. I'm going to get Scott to come on up, and then we've got the Elkins, who grew up in your youth ministry, and then Daniel Winkler is here, and then you can come up and close us out, okay?
All right.
Amen. Yeah, clap offering to the Lord.
I did ask if Chance was nervous, and what he didn't tell you is that I said you should be. So, I'm gonna move. Can I move this on? All right. Appreciate the stage team for doing this for me. Here we go. All right. Well, Chance, man, Chance and Chelsea. Must have been 90, if y'all came in 96, it must have been 90.
Can I say something real quick? Because you're always in the square. This is Scott Hooper, our children's pastor,
who's Scott
been on
Hooper,
staff for 30-something years. So, yeah, so if you're new to us, this is who this is, okay? And so,
I'm sorry. Let me introduce myself. I actually go to church here, and I'm the children's pastor. Yeah, well, thank you. And I was a youth pastor at one point. I came to my senses, and just worked with children. But I guess if y'all were here in 96, it was 97, the summer of 97, that y'all were my interns, my summer youth interns. I didn't make the list, apparently, of his top bosses. Mike beat me out somehow. I'm not sure. But the 25 years, man, golly, you'll forgive me for not remembering all the details of our time together. I do remember Chelsea being a Cass Stevens at the time, right? Yeah. I remember Shelley pulling Chelsea's leg about, I think it was about the same time, about Mr. Rogers at the time and how old he was becoming, and there was a little stair seat that he had to use in order to get down his two stairs, and he was wearing orthopedic shoes, and Chelsea was just biting a line and sinker. When she realized that Shelley was joking, she actually asked Shelley if my wife could teach her how to lie like that. So, so I guess that's a compliment. Shelley, you're a good liar. Anyway, I do remember Chance having unbelievable hair. Oh, yes. He had unbelievable hair, a mane that a lion would be jealous of. As he walked, the wind would blow it even if there was no wind. And it was in slow motion. Always. It was like a shampoo commercial. I mean, it was unbelievable, incredible. So indeed many things can shall we say change in 25 years. Apparently youth ministry causes hair loss, and that's one of the reasons I got out when I did. But anyway. I do remember our first international mission trip to Reynosa, Mexico, together. And we were trying to be a blessing, doing some construction and painting at an orphanage down there. And there was a mighty battle that ensued between my parents' van and the roads of Mexico. Parents' van 0, roads of Mexico 1. And I sheared off a back U-joint trying to cross a divided highway, and with all the kids in there. And the drive shaft dropped off. And memorable trip. Good times. Anyway. I think we should probably be celebrating way more than 20 years here. Because as you heard from his testimony, Chance has really been doing ministry since he became a believer. He hit the ground running. In case you're wondering, here's a few stats about how long youth ministers stay at their jobs. Some of the stats are interesting. 89% of youth ministers are married. Check. 89% have a college education. Check. Okay, making sure. These are questions we actually had never asked before we hired him. Average age is 35 to 45. Check. Right. Okay. You don't have to tell me how old you are. And they have an average youth ministry career of 8 to 11 years. Not check. So you've been here for 20 years. But let me ask you, why would most of these people quit 8 to 11 years into ministry? I submit to you that it's because between the ages of 35 and 45, their kids are teenagers, and most of them realize, hey, I've been working with these kids, and I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm getting out of here. But I think that Chance and Chelsea figured it out. A couple of worshipers on stage. You're doing an incredible job, y'all. But seriously, Chance knows his calling is influencing the lives of students, and he doesn't back down from that, whether it's through football or through ministry here or just out. He knows who his calling is for. He's loyal to the kingdom. He is loyal to his calling, and he sticks to it even when it's hard. And it's his consistency that made him an obvious choice for leading our youth here. But it also gave him the opportunity to minister many, many times to old friends. And I've heard some stories of him being able to pastor his entire family through some of the most challenging times that they face. Chance has a true pastoral heart. And here's something very cool. Chance and Chelsea and Shelly and I share something that no one else will ever share. Every one of our kids, Yankees and Hooper kids, have been actively involved in each other's ministries. I've had all of their kids in the Cottonwood Kidmen, and he has had all of mine throughout youth. And that's one of the blessings of being in ministry together for so long. And Shelly and I appreciate the times when the kids would come home telling us what Chance said. And, granted, it's often the same thing that we had told them. Any other parents experience that? But we do need people that we can trust to come and translate the important biblical concepts and life concepts to them when all they hear at home is, wah, 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 wah. Okay. So thank you, Chance and Chelsea, for speaking to our kids. For Caitlin, Chance was the first person outside. Caitlin's our oldest. Chance was the first person outside the family that really spoke into her. And I don't know if you remember this, Chance, but one night at youth, you came and sat down next to Caitlin, and you said, I see Psalm 1 in you. It was profound for her. It was life-giving. She still remembers it. So thank you. This isn't super spiritual unless I'm missing something, but Chris loved the UFC nights that you had. They would watch UFC while playing video games. Anyway. Then they would go out and act out the fight moves. And I think one of these UFC nights is when Samuel May got his arm broken. Oh, yes, sir. So anyway. Yes. This is Chance's last day here at Cottonwood. Anyway, I won't go there. So, but given these, he was also part of the first youth band. So seeing this is such a joy, seeing kids worship. But giving those kids an opportunity to discover their gifts and lead worship, and those times are top of mind for Chris. Caleb graduated, and he's still with you. It's the blessing for providing such a great place to stick around and a place to grow and to serve. Caleb entered youth because he wouldn't stay a kid forever, and he stayed after graduation because he was telling us it just feels like home. I mean, he feels like he's at home when he's there. The same thing you said about Cottonwood whenever you first came. But let's be honest, he was trying to hang out with you since Caitlin entered seventh grade. So I think his heart's probably been with you for a very, very long time before he ever came into youth. But thank you for giving Caleb an opportunity and a place to use his giftedness to serve. I'm probably the only dad to steal his son's dad jokes, but that's Caleb. So I appreciate all that you've done for our family. for speaking truth into our kids, for impacting eternity for my family and for Cottonwood. Love you, man.
Another mic, so I'm going to get the yellow one. Does that work? Yeah. So this is the Elkins. They live in Lake City, Colorado. They're one of the few youth that got married, and it's awesome, okay? And there's been a few, but I'm going to let y'all share for a few minutes and get it over. Get it over to you.
Been joking with Katie that I would try not to cry, but I don't think I'm going to make it.
He always cries. Is this on?
Yeah.
Okay.
So to summarize youth, when we rolled around, it was 2002, so very fresh. And I think that for most youth pastors, it's like, all right, we're going to have fun, we're going to do all these things, we're going to go to camp, and my story is very similar to Chance's. I had made tons of terrible decisions. I had a rough upbringing. I wouldn't say it was bad. My mom and dad were awesome. But it was hard. And same kind of story. Had a friend that we jokingly said we had a drug problem. He drug us here. And so, yeah, we'd carouse all night Saturday night, end up crashing at his house because his was the shortest drive to get back to. And then the next morning, his mom would wake us up with breakfast, and we'd get drug here. Come that summer between my junior and senior year, they were like, you're going to camp. And me and my brother looked at each other like, y'all are going to the beach. How are we going to afford that? It was like $400. And they were like, it's already been paid for. And I was not going to go. And Stuart, who y'all might have heard of, one of our buddies, he knew me all too well. He was like, there's going to be girls in swimsuits. And I was like, okay. You got me. Let's go. Gave my life to the Lord. I held out. It was like day three. I tried to be tough. And gosh, everything turned around. It was a whirlwind, and I had no idea what I'd stepped into. And the Lord just kind of, he didn't just remove the scales from my eyes. He gave me completely new ones too. Everything in my life got turned upside down. My mom thought I had joined a cult. I think my dad kind of knew it was what was best. But it was a trip. It was nuts. I wrote down, I wanted to try to find like a verse for each kind of phase because we've been here for 20 years. And I think that Chance lived out Psalm 23 in that first couple years, getting me out of high school. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness and for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's David speaking to the Lord. And I knew the Lord. I had said, yeah, I'm yours. But that man was the one I walked with. He came into that valley and led me up out of it. and those times where he was the rod and the staff, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. The truth's painful, but I needed it. So for that, thank you, man. You were literally Jesus' hands and feet. So fast forward a few years. We've been around for, like I said, since I've been a part of Cottonwood since 02. Through the end of high school and going into college, you know, obviously lives grow apart. But one thing that I would not trade for the world is discipleship. Chance took the time to get us guys together and teach us really what the gospel was about. A huge hang up for me was I knew I was saved, but I didn't understand how God could use something that was so broken. I think Romans 8 kind of sums it up best. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ is made free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in likeness of sin and flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And just again, that outpouring of truth upon truth upon truth upon truth. And there's not, every time I think about what I'm doing today or tomorrow, I think about this time. He gave us a by-hour sheet to fill out of what you're going to do in the day. Which at the time, you know, there's a chunk that's school and a big chunk that's hopefully sleep. And what do you do with all that other time? And I'll never forget that. I don't know why it stuck so hard. Other than it just, my days are numbered. We don't have a lot of time here. Make the most of it. You've got time to do whatever you want to do if you just make time. And with that, part of that realization was I can do better. I can make time to do better. But you always followed it with, I can't do it on my own. It's God that does it. Spending time with him, getting to know him. And then it was shortly after that that I got to start to work with Scott. And I was a children's intern, much like Chance. We were in the little closet that is like across from Mary Lee's office. We could literally do this and hit each other. And those were some great times. The first bunch of kids that I was ever able to work with was Chris. So the Lord can do it, will do it. You gotta be willing to accept the truth that he can and forgive. I had to forgive myself of a lot. And so all my colored history went on for years, getting in and out of it. One of our best friends, Stuart, who's the one that drug us here, might have been one of the first high school student funerals that we ever had to do. Chance was there when my mom got sick the first time. When my mom passed away, when her sister and my brother almost died in a car crash. When my dad passed away just last year. You were there for our wedding. And so many things along the way. You've always been there. I've always had your number saved in my phone. And even in Colorado, I might talk to you more now than I did when I was in college. And gosh, it's been amazing, man. Thank you so much. Love you, bud.
Okay, you were longer-winded than I thought you were going to be.
Sorry.
All right. So, as Kelly talked about, 20 years is kind of a lot of life seasons. You know, we talked about funerals and weddings and high school kids to young married to having kids. And I remember the first miscarriage that I had. It was before this was built. We were in the other church, and we had come that Sunday, and I was a mess. And I remember Chance and Chelsea coming and just weeping with us. And I knew, like I had known, y'all have been our youth pastors for a long time, so I knew I could trust y'all. But in that moment, that's when I was like, oh, these are my people. They're willing to go through the hard with us. So thank you. However, the story that God has on my heart today is actually of recent years. It's not growing up, albeit it's now multi-generational with our kids being able to know you guys, and what a blessing that is. But anyway, in 2018, the four of us, we all got to go to Ireland. It was a fantastic vacation. Travel with your friends. It's so fun. But anyway, one of the things that we were going to do was we were going to go see Rind Collective in concert, my favorite Irish band, banjos and all that. But those of you that know my husband growing up, he is an all or nothing kind of guy. He is still an all or nothing kind of guy. And so when we go to a concert, we go to the concert. I mean, like, in the middle, on the floor. We are not getting a chair. I don't let him buy concert tickets anymore. But anyway, we go and we actually find ourselves in the midst of youth groups, which I think is not coincidence by any means at all. God knew what he was doing by putting us there. So anyway, we're listening to this music, and I start seeing Chance over here, and he's talking to this kid. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's what Chance does. He talks to people. It's great. And so then they keep talking through intermission. He's still talking. By the end of the concert, Chance is praying over him. And at that point, I'm like, okay, I got to know this kid's story. We got to figure out what's going on. And so when we get out there, I ask them, and side note, have y'all noticed how Chance Yankee can get somebody to tell the deepest parts of their lives in like no time flat? He just gets people to just tell them all of their things. And this kid in the, you know, it's in a concert, so you've got like a couple minutes here, a couple minutes here, has found out that this young man, if I remember correctly, was a missionary kid. His family was actually from Colorado to Ireland, mission work there, and he was mad. He missed home, he missed his friends, he missed sports. He was real frustrated about being there. How Chance got all that information, I don't know. But, right, Chance actually had the opportunity to encourage this kid and pray for him and love on him. And I'm sitting back and I'm watching this happen going, this is Chance's ministry. This is what it's been for 20 years. Where he sees a kid, no matter where you are, what your life has, what you're doing, he's going to love you and he's going to enter into whatever it is and he's going to pray and encourage you in that. He sees people and he steps into their lives that impact and they grow us, and they did for us. But more than that, Chance, I know this day is kind of hard for you because it's Chance this and Chance that, and you're very humble, right? But more than that, Chance sees the big picture. Chance sees that it's not just about us. You know, I think about coming from teeny tiny little Lake City, Colorado, and what God's doing there. And then we come to Dublin, Texas, and what God's doing here. But then we go across the other side of the world, and we're seeing what God is doing in Ireland. And it's just this overarching unity of his people. And it's through the obedience of his people to enter in and love each other no matter where we are. That's where life happens. That's where the kingdom is grown. So I appreciate you setting that example of loving people well, no matter where you are or what you're doing. It's just always been so encouraging for me. I think that you have shown a life dedicated to the Lord, a life of obedience to the Lord. And whatever he asks you to do, you're always in. I appreciate that a lot. We're obviously never going to know the end of that young man's story. But I do know that the seed that was planted by somebody else, Chance got to water that day. And that was really neat to see. So I want to encourage you in hearing that testimony that no matter where you are, what you're doing, God has a place and a plan for you to do something, whether it is planting the seed in the youth or watering it or reaping it. And I pray one day, maybe when we get to heaven, you get to sit with the Lord and be like, hey, what was that kid's story? And maybe you'll get to hear the end of it. And I pray you do, because that's pretty cool. Let me see. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's it. Thank you, Chance and Chelsea, for your years of loving us and encouraging us and your sweet friendship and advice and safety for us. I really appreciate it, and we love y'all so much.
All right, well, I am the last to go. And then I know Chance is going to speak some words. Some of you know me, some of you don't. My name is Daniel Winkler, and I've been at Cottonwood since I was 8 years old until I was 24 years old. My wife and I moved away to go start a ministry in Fort Worth. But I entered the youth group in 2007 as a junior hire, and I exited in 2013 as a senior. And then my wife and I, we went to Tarleton, and so we stuck around the college ministry. And so Chance and I have an 11-year, God, I'm going to cry if I look over there. This was not in my notes. An 11-year history together of direct contact. And I've got 7 minutes to distill it. So I'm going to do what I can. I prayed to God is what I should say. But me as a youth student, a couple things you need to know. There are some things I did well. But by and large, I was a spaz, okay? There were some things going on in my brain as I developed that caused me to be impulsive, okay? So I have a friend up in Fort Worth. He's currently has teenagers, and so he's like, what's going on with my teenagers? So he purchased a book on the developmental brain of a student, someone that hits puberty and goes through high school. And man, he was telling me the stuff that goes on in the brain of someone that is developing. You hit a very large growth point from the time you're in junior high until about 18 or 19. And I thought, okay, that is what was wrong with me. Okay, I had no idea. But here's what happens. The brain develops, and then you start to go this way, and you go off the path. Or you start to do this, because that's a good idea. You have no concept of the future. It's very now present, and that's what goes on. But Chance was kind of like bumpers for me. He contained my stupidity. And I know you should have been paid more for that. I was a difficult student at times, but he was always there to make sure I don't do this or that. And when I did, he was there. So several things that I recall about Chance, he confronted me when I needed it, which was rather frequent. Okay, so that was one of the bumpers. Hey, you're starting to do this. Let's have that conversation. Let's sit down. And I don't know if you ever tried to rebuke somebody, but it is a difficult thing to do it well. Okay, either you're too soft and it goes over their head, or you're too direct and it's actually damaging. And Scripture would say confrontation in love, rebuke in love. And there are several conversations that are just staying into my mind because of how he handled it. It was very direct, did not go over my head, but it's always of this place of, hey, I care about you. I want to see you do better. You're starting to do this as you develop. Don't do that. Come back to the Lord. And I love what Kelly said about being a shepherd. Okay, shepherds have rods to discipline, but shepherds have staffs to protect. And that's kind of what it was when I was rebuked. It's, hey, let's have that conversation, but I'm trying to protect you. So he curved my brain development by confronting me. And Chance was always very encouraging. You'd get confronted, but hey, let me tell you what you're doing well. Let me spur you on to the Lord. And that, my friends, was in love. Okay? You can manipulate someone by encouraging them. I mean, a lot of people do that. But Chance was never encouraged for the purpose of furthering his ministry or gaining his role or his status. It was always to build me up. And I needed that. Because there are times where, to go back to what you said, self-condemning. Okay, confrontation when I'm condemning myself is not appropriate. That's when you need encouragement. And he has this weird gift to press when necessary and to relent when necessary. And it's an odd thing how you have the ability to read that. That's something I aspire to be like. But Chance also, in my development, was very, how did I phrase it in my notes? Gave me a lot of direction. Okay, I was kind of blinded by the present and started to go this way or that way. But man, there are several decisions in my life that I made that altered the course of my life because I said, what do I do? I'm lost. I'm confused. Can you give me some direction? And that, my friends, was always in love as well. I always felt like he's taking the time out of his day to do that for me because he loves me. And so that man is very loving, and everything he did was out of that. Chance is probably the top three most influential people in my life. One is my wife. Two is Chance, and three is my coach, okay? So I've got other influences around me, but I've actually got catalogs in my head of certain things that certain people say or certain conversations that certain people have. And Chance's catalog is massive. I mean, it is tall because of the amount of things he said to me and the amount of time he spent with me. And it was influential not just for his words, but because of his presence, okay? You can't just coach someone with words. You've got to be there. And that takes time. And I realized as the older I get, the less time I have because kids, responsibilities, bills, etc. But he was always very selfless with his time. And so I do college ministry now, so I'm a vocational minister. And I kid you not, weekly I have to revisit these catalogs because, like, what would Chance do? Because I don't know what I would do. That stack is very high. Thank you for your time, your words, your rebukes in love, encouragement in love, direction in love. And I mean this, like, you're the best minister role model that I have. And now I'm doing ministry, and I have to revisit everything you said because it stayed with me. And so I know in high school, it probably felt like you were spinning your wheels with me. Like, dang, he's not getting anywhere. I'm doing this, spending all this time, saying all these things, and he's actually going backwards. But they stuck. Scripture would use the term planting seeds. Someone plants, someone waters, but God causes the increase. And so I promise you the times where you're doing everything you can and it wasn't working, it worked. It just took 5 years to get there. I'm 26 now. So I think I am over my 7 minutes, that's fine. Everyone else was. I ain't got no worries. But if I could be half the minister that you are, I would be happy. I would be content. So we all pass away sometime. Death is inevitable. But I promise you this, you will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," as soon as you meet the Lord. And that is something to emulate. That's all.
So throughout the years that I've had the opportunity to be here, I've wondered sometimes what it was like, Jeanette, to be in your shoes, Scott, to be in your shoes, and, you know, go through those times of celebration. And I just thought, man, what would that be like? It's an incredibly humbling experience, because sometimes we go through our day and we realize what we're not. We realize where we lack. We realize our deficiencies, our failures. And then when you sit there and you hear those things like that, you just think, it is the Lord. Because there's no way that I could be any of those things. And so thank you so much for all your graciousness and your kind words, friends. I really appreciate that. I first want to say that my wife, number one, is the greatest thing outside of Jesus that has ever happened to me. I could go on and on. Yes, please. Big hand of applause. I actually thought about doing my next sermon next time that I get the opportunity to speak about being a virtuous wife from the perspective of Proverbs 31 and what it is that the ladies in this world can aspire to. And, you know, I just think about, Chelsea, you're standing. These are all S's, okay? Out of Proverbs 31, this sums up the whole chapter. You're standing, your position, your sacrifices. I think about your service. I think about your speech. I think about your selflessness. And I think about where you find your satisfaction. You are truly a wife of noble character. And you are truly my crown. Thank you, Chelsea. Thank you for being an amazing woman. Thank you for spurring me on. Thank you for every morning when I wake up, I see that you're on the couch, already have had your quiet time, and you make me feel guilty that I haven't gotten there yet. Thank you that you are the best thing that my kids could ever hope to have, because if it was just me, we all know that my kids would be a mess. Kids, I want to thank you for being great kiddos. Samuel, it's my constant prayer, because we pray this together often, that we would always have a good relationship, that you would always be a young man that would pursue the Lord, that would love God's word, that would love the church, that would desire to share truth. The girls, because it's my prayer often with you, that you would grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. And I think God has answered most of that prayer, though all of you are very short. I couldn't ask for a better group of girls, from Brianna to Alexis to Mackenzie. I'm so very blessed to have you as my children. In Psalm 127, 3 through 5, it says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring of a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame. I just want to say thank you. My quiver is full. And as every adult in this room knows, when you go out to do whatever it is that God has called you to do, that God has got for you to be about that particular day, every adult in here knows you carry a piece of your family and what has happened at the house with you into the workplace, right? Yeah, we do. We carry those things with us. And while not every day has been a day where I left the house because everything was hunky-dory, maybe we had an argument that morning, maybe somebody got out of bed late, maybe something didn't get taken care of, and so Dad has to kind of come down, or maybe Dad just woke up grouchy, and I wasn't the easiest person in the world to get along with. More times than not, I've been able to go on throughout my day with a clear conscience, being able to do what God has called me to do, to be about the Lord's work. But there are those some days where, because of my knuckleheadedness, I've had to turn around knowing full well I can't go do what God's called me to do, because I've not been the man of God that at my house I need to be, so I need to turn around and make this right. Thank you for your patience, kiddos, Chelsea. Thank you for those days and moments where I haven't been the man that I was supposed to be, but you were kind, you were considerate, you were compassionate, and you loved me to the place that I needed to be so that I can be the man of God that God wants me to be and pursue what he has for me. 3 John 1 through 4, or verse chapter 1, there's only one chapter, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. It's my prayer that you would always fulfill that verse. To my family, what an incredible support system. You've taught me. You've encouraged me. If, Daniel, you ever wonder where the encouragement came from, then you just hang out and you need to hang out with my mom and dad for a little bit. Incredibly encouraging folks. I come by it honestly, and it's because I come from good stock. You've taught me, you've encouraged me, you've rebuked me and corrected me, especially when I need it. You've trained me. You truly help shape and mold and direct my life. And for that, I'm very, very grateful. So, Mom and Dad, thank you. Cottonwood family. Chelsea and I arrived almost a quarter of a century ago. You took us under your wing. You nurtured us. You mentored and discipled us. You spoke into our lives, and you let us speak into your life. You let us celebrate and mourn with you. You loved us, you mentored, and then you allowed us to do those things and reciprocate them. You've blessed us, and in return, you've let us be a blessing. Why would I ever want to go anywhere else? I remember we were at a conference not too long ago. Well, maybe it was long ago. And the speaker was speaking, and he brought up the scripture. And I think it's Joshua saying this to Moses. I could be wrong. But he said, whatever is in your heart, go and do it, that the Lord has called you to do. I am with you. I'm with you. And I remember so vividly, it was one of those moments in the last 20 years that sometimes you get people knocking on the door saying, hey, we really need a youth pastor over here. And so we kind of start to turn the head and you start to look. It's like, oh, yeah, they do need a youth pastor over there. Or, you know, that somebody comes knocking and they say, hey, college buddy, who I'm now a senior pastor, I really need an associate pastor. Wouldn't it be fun if we got to minister together? And you start looking, you go, oh, yeah, it would be kind of fun if I got to team up with my old buddy and go do some ministry together. That would be great. And then some other opportunities kind of come and go, and you just think, or I just think, why? When God has been so good, when God has got me right where he wants me, why would I ever think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence? I feel like a child of Cottonwood. My wife and I, that's what we feel like. We feel like children of Cottonwood. You have raised us. You have taught us. There's been times where I've had some of the most near and dear conversations with some of you that I just think, if I didn't have that in my life, where would we be? I tell people all the time, it's because of the people at Cottonwood that God has used and because of the family that God has given me that our marriage is what it is today, that our children are what they are today. I and we are a product of you. And I just want to say thank you so very much. In closing, where would we be without our Cottonwood family, our spiritual family? Where would we be without our extended earthly family? Where would I be without our immediate family, the ones I go home to? I'd be a mess. I know that. I'd be a mess. You have loved us well. It is one of Cottonwood's greatest core values to love each other, to love the Lord and to love each other. You have done that well. And I want to say thank you. But I do have breaking news. And I've only discussed this with my children. And I'm not going to be able to be your youth pastor when I'm 75 years old. So between now and then, we may have to get somebody trained up to take my place, because I just don't know if I can last till I'm 75. So just to let you know, my replacement is out there somewhere. And at some point in time, I know that that day is coming. And it will be a wonderful day. It will be a great day. I only hope that when that next person takes over, that they can take the baton that God has given me the opportunity to run with and finish the race and continue to run with great diligence. Honestly, if I were to die today, I could say I'm blessed, but I am not satisfied. I'm not satisfied because we have more work to do. There are more souls that need salvation. There are more youth in college out there that need guidance and wisdom. There's so much more to do. And while the last 20 years have been wonderful, I look forward to the next 20 years, like that old country song, the next 20 years. I don't know what they hold, but like it says in Proverbs 31, about a wife, a noble wife, where she looks at the future and she grins or she smiles, I look at what's to come and I grin and smile with great confidence, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. He will continue to build the student ministry here. He will continue to work through it, and he continued to work in an effectual way that the impact of the kingdom is expanded year after year after year. That's our heart, and that's our prayer. And if anybody wants to join in the student ministry, here's my shameful pitch, you know, my shameless pitch. Come on. I'm always looking for the next leader. Come on with us. Come on. Thank you, Mike.
Amen. Come on down. Chelsea and kids, can y'all come? Come on up as we close. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, just come on to the center. I'm going to ask elders to come up right now. Just gather around. Okay. Amen. So, and then I want all the youth that are in here, all the students and former students that were a part of ministry, will y'all stand up and come on? If you are a student or a former student, come on up. Yeah. Awesome. Good. Awesome. Just always grateful to think about the Christian life as being a long, faithful walk. The Bible calls it a race. Says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You've heard me say it before, the day after day, the week after week, the month after month, the year after year of ministry, of fatherhood, of being a great husband, of being a friend, a coach to kids. It's just such a witness and a testimony of the greatness of our God. And we recognize that today. And we thank God for your life at Cottonwood, but for the kingdom of God and how it's made the difference. And I like that thought. 75 years old, it's a good thought. I'm glad that you are here, and we look forward to what God has for us. I've asked Daniel to pray as one of our elders, and then I'll close us. And I think, Daniel, you said something this morning that was just awesome. So if you'll take a moment to say that.
So we've talked a lot about...
So I've got to get... Samuel, can you go back?
You got more work to do, Chance.
Okay. Awesome. Which one is that? Oh, it's the... Yeah. Go.
So... we talked about you speaking into kids' lives, but also, Chance, you've spoken into older people's lives. We talked about dates and all this, but there's a date. There's a time that you spoke to me You asked a simple question. And the question was, when did you accept Jesus? That was the year 2000, April 14th. I'll never forget that day. I didn't have an answer for you. But it caused a big stir in my mind. And that question had changed the course of my life forever. And I just gratefully thank you for that.
You got saved the next day, right? Or nailed it down.
The next day, I called Mike because it wouldn't leave me alone. And I told him, we have to have a talk. Because I already been baptized twice. But as we know, baptism doesn't save us. And I told Mike what was going on, and he led me through this prayer. And I already knew the answer before the words left my mouth, but I asked him, I said, so does this mean I got to get baptized again? I knew the answer was yes, but it started a 5-year wrestling match with the Lord. He wouldn't leave me alone until I got baptized. And man, the floodgates of ministry have slung open wide, and it's amazing.
Amen. Great.
Thank you, Chance. Let me pray. So, Lord, we're so grateful for today, Lord, and this day of celebration for this man that you brought into our lives, and the countless lives that he has spoken into, Lord. And I think of the passage in Ezekiel 3 where God tells Ezekiel to eat the scroll. And he did, and it tasted sweet like honey. And he said, now, give it to my people. And I was thinking about that passage as we heard testimonies of others. And Lord, we know that they have passed it on, just like the Elkins and Daniel. He's passing it on. Lord, your word will never go void. And it just encourages us to continue with your word. We thank you for the next 20 years, Lord, and all the people all the kids that Chance gets to minister to. And Lord, we're so grateful for that. And Lord, we ask a blessing on his family and his ministry. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.